Hi all, welcome to Cashman's Hardware and Garden Center. My name is Evan Cashman. I'm the son of Rick, the owner. We are so pleased today to welcome this congregation to talk about fertilizer and the new law that has passed about it. We've been here for 77 years, and we are so pleased that they would come to our store to talk about it. I'd like to introduce Mr. Frank Schneider, the director of the Bureau of Plant Industry, to start talking. Frank?
Thank you.
Yep.
So thank you, Cashman's. We appreciate being here with you today. There are over 2 million acres of lawn in Pennsylvania. These oases are pivotal retreats for many of us, but we need to take care. We need to be wise when we decide how and when to fertilize our lawns. Proper nutrient management plays an important role in maintaining and improving both our soils and water quality. There are four steps each homeowner, lawn care, or turf professional should take prior to applying fertilizer on the yard. First, conduct a soil test to determine what nutrients are needed. We recommend working with the Penn State Extension Office in your county to purchase soil test kits at a nominal fee. Second, once you determine what your soil needs, select an appropriate fertilizer for the nutrients that are needed. And third, follow and read the directions for use on the fertilizer label, including the application rate. And finally, ensure you are following the environmental management practices that are prescribed, including limiting application near water, whether flowing or standing. I will point you to an example label. All labels in Pennsylvania will now have this notice to Pennsylvania users. These are special environmental conditions that must be used. So protecting our water resources is important to maintaining the health of not only the environment, but our communities. By only applying what we need and being proactive in your approach around waterways, we can limit nutrient runoff into the waterways. These excess nutrients in our waterways promote algae blooms, which reduce sunlight and oxygen levels in the water, resulting in the death of aquatic life. Homeowners can find more information on the Pennsylvania Fertilizer Law on our website at agriculture.pa.gov/fertilizer. It's also important to note that nutrient management is not the only tool to use to aid your lawn and limit nutrient runoff. There are many additional lawn care considerations that can be used to promote healthy lawn while protecting our local waterways. Your soil test may indicate low soil pH, or you may find your soil is compacted, leading to difficulty for grass root growth and a higher likelihood of runoff. Soil compaction and organic matter content influence water movement, nutrient availability, and microbial ecosystems of the soil. Being aware of these things, you can help improve your soil and better support a healthy lawn. You should also consider raising the mower deck to cut your grass at 3 inches or higher. A taller lawn provides shade that discourages weed growth and promotes strong root development, helping lawns withstand environmental stress. A taller, healthier lawn slows water movement and increases infiltration, keeping moisture, soil, and nutrients where they are needed most. By mulching your grass clippings instead of catching them, you are returning valuable organic matter and nutrients back to your lawn. Provide a buffer around waterways and don't mow up to the banks of streams. Maintaining vegetative buffers along waterways provides wildlife habitat while slowing and filtering water before it enters the waterway. Or alternatively, homeowners can convert sections of their lawn, replacing turf with native vegetation, like native meadows, which not only increases water infiltration, but also promotes biodiversity and creates habitats for pollinators and other wildlife. There are many options available to you and much to learn by talking with the experts, both at your Penn State Extension offices and folks at local nurseries and greenhouses like Cashman's Ace Hardware and Garden Center. These places are cornerstones of our communities where local experts can help guide you with trusted advice and service. Together, we can have healthy lawns while also protecting Pennsylvania's waterways. Remember, be wise when you fertilize. Next, I would like to introduce Jill Weaver. Jill Whitcomb, one of my good friends, Jill Whitcomb, Director of Watershed Restoration with the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection.
Thank you, Frank.
I apologize.
We were just talking about that. Thank you, Frank, and thank you to the Cashmans for hosting this event. I am very excited to be here today and to be working together with the Department of the Environmental of Agriculture, as well as other public, private, and non-governmental partners, like the Pennsylvania Landscape and Nursery Association, who's represented here today, to ensure cleaner water for Pennsylvania's communities. The Department of Environmental Protection works with 66 conservation districts across the Commonwealth and 43 within Pennsylvania's Chesapeake Bay watershed to improve, restore, and protect local water quality. The challenge of cleaning up our waters crosses municipal, county, and state boundaries. What's great for PA is good for the Bay. Pennsylvania initiated a voluntary ground-up approach to improve Pennsylvania's waters that flow into the Chesapeake Bay, working with counties to develop countywide action plans. These plans allow for a customized and adaptive approach, combining local and state priorities for cleaner water and healthier soils for our residents and our communities. Counties and other local partners work with each other, as well as with municipalities, private industry, residents, and farmers to manage stormwater and reduce erosion, ensure proper management of lawn fertilizer and manure, plant trees and wildlife habitat, and protect, preserve, and conserve our lands. The enhancements made to the fertilizer law will help residents throughout Pennsylvania to effect positive change in their local waters as well as those that flow downstream. Pennsylvania maintains a unique federal, state, and local partnership structure with DEP working together with the Department of Agriculture, the State Conservation Commission, and USDA Natural Resource Conservation Service to support county conservation districts. DEP provides funding to support staff such as the Conservation District Watershed Specialists in every county, whose purpose is to enable communities to effect positive change on their local waters. These watershed specialists help with locating funding for projects like through the Growing Greener program at DEP and providing education, outreach, and technical expertise to local schools, municipalities, watershed organizations, farmers, and residents. An example of an active community engagement and local partnership program is the Adams County Planting Partnership. Led by the Conservation District and the Watershed Alliance of Adams County, whose mission is to get native trees and shrubs in the hands of Adams County residents. This partnership is made possible by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation's Keystone 10 Million Trees Partnership, funded in part by the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Over the last 6 years, more than 78,000 trees have been planted in Adams County through this initiative. In addition to the conservation districts, the Penn State Extension Master Gardeners and Master Watershed Stewards programs share their expertise in gardening as well as management and protection of watersheds and with residents and volunteers across the Commonwealth. Under the Shapiro administration, we are committed to working together across agencies, across partners, across multiple levels of government, and with our local stakeholders to improve and protect streams in your communities. We encourage people to contact their local conservation district and Penn State Extension office for information on actions that you can take, like planting native plants and trees, managing your lawn fertilizer and lawn care needs, and to help improve and protect the streams in your communities. Now I will invite Greg Robertson from the Pennsylvania Landscape and Nursery Association up to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Greg Robertson. I represent the Pennsylvania Landscape and Nursery Association, PLNA, the leading trade association representing Pennsylvania's $6.8 billion green industry. Our member lawn care professionals, landscape contractors, retail garden centers, wholesale nurseries, and greenhouses produce outdoor living environments that improve economic value, air quality, water quality, and human health. It's a pleasure being here with Secretary Redding to talk about Pennsylvania's new fertilizer law that our association worked with him, his staff, the General Assembly, the Chesapeake Bay Commission, and other stakeholders to bring into being. This law is an example of what can be achieved when we all work together in common purpose to achieve a goal that benefits Pennsylvania's citizens and our environment. Lawns are one of the most prominent features of our urban and suburban neighborhoods. As such, how we care for our lawns can have an enormous impact on water quality in our state. The new fertilizer law, for the first time, sets out best management practices for both professionals and homeowners caring for lawns and turf grass. Our association fully supports and encourages adherence to these best management practices. If you have a lawn, caring for it properly is a key to assuring that your lawn improves rather than harms our rivers and streams. In its expert panel report on the impact of lawns on water quality in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, EPA states that the key to a lawn's beneficial impact on water quality is to maintain, and I'm quoting here, maintain a dense vegetative cover of turf grass to reduce runoff, prevent erosion, and retain nutrients. It further says that the research demonstrates that dense vegetative cover helps to reduce surface runoff, which can be responsible for significant nutrient export from the lawn, regardless of whether it is fertilized or not. Dense cover has been shown to reduce surface runoff volumes in a wide range of geographic settings and soil conditions. If a lawn does not have a dense cover, it has an elevated risk for nutrient export, especially if soils are compacted or slopes are steep, the report concludes. The best management practices outlined in Pennsylvania's new fertilizer law closely follow EPA's recommendations, and we now have a roadmap for professionals and homeowners to follow to achieve the dense vegetative turf grass cover called for in the EPA report. I want to say that lawn care professionals are already in substantial compliance with the best management practices outlined in the fertilizer law, although I'll admit we still have some work to do. We are working with the Department of Agriculture to explore ways we can reach out to lawn care professionals to further improve compliance. However, according to the EPA report I referenced earlier, less than 5% of the lawns in the Chesapeake Bay watershed are professionally managed. The rest are managed by homeowners. Our challenge is to find ways of reaching out to homeowners who care for the remaining 95% of lawns to help them know about and use the best management practices outlined in our new fertilizer law. That's why events such as this are a key to continuing to improve lawn care and water quality across the Chesapeake Bay watershed and across Pennsylvania. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today about this important issue.
I think I'm next. Thank you. Hey, I'm Michael Helfrich. I'm the mayor of the city of York. Thank you for allowing me to come over into Adams County here. You may be wondering why the mayor of the city of York is here, but I'm also your representative, one of your representatives. Where'd Marty go? Marty, come on up here. We are your representatives for what's called the Local Government Advisory Committee to the Chesapeake Executive Council. Try writing that out all the time. But what that means is that we are local government officials who advise the governors who are trying to find a way to sustain and improve our waterways leading into the Chesapeake Bay. But our role is really important because we try to impart some wisdom to the governors of what we think is actually going to work on the ground. So we know that we need to reduce some of these things that are nutrients, fertilizers, and there are many different ways to do this. We've asked our agricultural community, the farm community, to reduce where they can. But you also got to remember, they're growing our food and they need space. And it's not that easy to reduce the nutrients in agricultural settings. We all make a lot of nutrients when we use our waste disposal systems at home, and we know we don't want to stop doing that, right? And it's expensive to clean those up and clean those nutrients out. But here is something that we're talking about today that is fairly easy. It's fairly easy to just reduce the amount of stuff that you have to buy, so you're paying more money for it, and reduce the amount that you're then going to apply, which takes time. It's one of those win-wins. Now, I did want to address this thing about testing your soil. That's a new inconvenience for us, right? But I'm going to ask folks to understand their role in this whole big picture, because all of us have to do something, whether I have to pay to reduce the nutrients coming from the wastewater treatment plant, or a farmer has to figure out a way to put up buffers or something like that. This is the little thing that you can do around your home to be part of the community, to be part of the team that is all working together to make sure that we have great waterways locally in the Bay, and most importantly for our kids and our grandchildren. So I really appreciate the work from Harrisburg, but even more so, I appreciate the individuals that are going to take the time and do that little bit of extra effort, because it does mean a lot. You're helping a farmer. You're helping your neighbors. You're helping everyone around when you do this little bit. So thank you very much for having us here.
Thanks.
And I'm introducing your state representative, Torin Ecker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. And I want to thank the Department of Agriculture, Secretary Russell Redding, and the Department of DEP for being here and really talking about all of the great stakeholder groups that have come together to make something that's so important to our society as clean water, right? As an avid trout fisherman, we're on the kind of the cusp of trout season, and this weekend is the Mentored Youth Open. Next weekend, the trout season opens for everybody. Clean water is so important to me, and I think it's so important to a lot of people. And something like this bill that has now been signed into law has been a long time coming. And I think it's so great that this is something that we can work together with the executive branch, the legislative branch, private-public partnership, everybody coming together to get something accomplished. This is what people expect from their leaders. This is what people expect from the government. This is what people expect from the community. And I think this is a classic example of why that's important. So being here at Cashman's is a special place for me, because I happen to live about 2 or 3 minutes from here. This is where I would come to buy. I take pride in keeping a good yard and a good garden and a nice landscape. We've got these nice azaleas in front of us. I mean, this is my kind of place to come. But just being a responsible homeowner, making good decisions about how do I care for my property, my lawn, is not a hard thing to do. And if it's an extra step along the way, so be it. Because at the end of the day, clean water is so important to us and our environment, and these are things that we can do that we can also have a really nice yard, but at the same time care about our clean water and the Chesapeake and giving those things that in this area we care so much about. So I really want to thank the Cashman family as well for allowing us to be here and take over half their store on a Thursday morning and just do a great job of hosting us. And at this time, I'd like to introduce my good friend and Adams County, colleague, the chairman of agriculture, Chairman Dan Mao.
Thank you, Torin. I think I'm going to take this in a little bit different direction, because you've all heard about the bill. You've all heard about how important it is to protect our waterways. As the chairman of agriculture, I felt as though it'd be a little bit more informative to those of you that don't know just how the system works to let you know what a heavy lift this was. But before I go into that, Torin had mentioned that he's home here, and this is part of his district. but I grew up right on the other side of those trees across the field. So this can't be more home than, and it just always warms me when I come back to East Berlin, this area, because I rode my mini bikes and trail bikes over there until I think I broke every bone in my body. But this is definitely home for me, and I do appreciate the Cashmans. I was telling somebody too long ago in here that when I was a small child, this store didn't exist. They had a store in town. And I still, to this day, when I hear an old wooden floor creaking, it reminds me of Cashman's. I couldn't hide anywhere in that store from my father because he knew every footstep I made. And so to see this business flourish the way it has and grow and stay in the family, which is really important. That's important to us here in Pennsylvania's family-grown businesses. But now on to the meat and potatoes of what I have to say. I'll start out by letting you know that I also sit on the Center for Rural Pennsylvania, and my chairman on that commission is Senator Yaw. Senator Yaw also sits on the Chesapeake Bay Commission. And he sent me a bill as chairman of agriculture in the House. He's in the Senate, obviously. He sent it to me. And he said, this bill is 12 years in the making. It's on your lap. It's on your desk. Get it done. I was like, Senator Yaw, this is 12 years in the making. There's a reason for that. But I learned. And I learned what the word compromise really does mean. Because both sides had their feet pretty well dug in the sand. And neither side, my side of the aisle, or the other side of the aisle, was willing to move them a whole lot. And with the help of the Department of Agriculture, the Chesapeake Bay Commission, the Senate, our staff, we met time and time and time again until we finally reduced the product down to something. We boiled all the water off the top and we got down to the real good sauce and said, okay, this is something that we can live with. And we got buy-in from all the stakeholders. Chesapeake Bay was appreciative of the work that we did. And finally, we got something that we could send back to the Senate that was compromised, and we came to a compromise in the House on, and we got this bill to the governor's desk. 12 years in the making. When people tell you that the wheels of government grind slowly, sometimes they really aren't joking about that. But, that's how government is supposed to work. Both sides coming together to reach an agreement so that we can put out a product that helps everyone. And for that, you've heard time and time again how this protects our environment. This helps homeowners know not to go out and over-fertilize their lawn. This keeps our waterways clean. This, as Torrin said, the fish, the other aquatic life that we can kill by over-fertilizing. Now, we know that the landscapers aren't going to over-fertilize because that's money out of their pocket. But this is more important, I think, for the homeowners to understand that buying two extra bags and throwing it on isn't doing you any good, but it also is hurting the environment. And what we did will hopefully keep them from doing that and keep our waterways clean, which ultimately end up in the Chesapeake Bay. So with that, I thank you, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce a friend, a constituent, and I would consider a colleague, the Secretary of Agriculture, Russell Redding.
Great. All of those.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Anytime that I'm standing in a hardware store with a beautiful greenhouse attached, it is a gift. Right, I feel comfort here. I mean, I feel like you could, just sort of leave this podium and go shopping, and you take care of all the home goods and go home and make the wife happy as well with some nice flowers. So that may be the plan until I'm done. But when you get to this point, also in a program, when you have folks who have been instrumental to the journey of bringing us to this moment, we can talk about a change of law and a change of process and practice in Pennsylvania. Yes, it's been a long journey, but much has been said, right? So maybe the most important thing I can say is thank you, right, to the team that never lost sight of the need to make sure that we were doing the right things in Pennsylvania. And as the mayor noted, I mean, this is a conversation that everybody has a piece of, right? No one is exempt from the responsibilities for protecting the environment, whether it's the municipal operators who have responsibilities in PA, whether it's the farm community or individual homeowners. And I think that's the beauty of the law, is it now connects these pieces that before we've talked about, we've referenced them, we expect people to do things, but this brings it all together. And to say that we have been in many, many conversations about this is an understatement, but I appreciate very much the work that's been done. It's important to note that in the United States, the states are responsible for fertilizer regulation. That is not a federal responsibility, right? So every state has a fertilizer law. So it's our responsibility here to manage that, to structure, to make sure that we're overseeing it correctly. And important to note that we are also a major manufacturer of fertilizer. Look around this community. There are manufacturers right in this region. We're blessed in so many ways for that. But it's also important to recognize that I wasn't born yet when the fertilizer law was passed. Yeah, 66 years ago. And with very little change. I mean, we've had a few updates to fees, but the truth is that the basic framework of how Pennsylvania approaches the regulation of fertilizer for everybody who is engaged in the use of fertilizer really is unchanged. And what we did through the work with the legislature and Senator Yaw and the team and Chairman Dan Mal and Representative Eckert and the whole legislative team was to bring that together with a lot of compromises, the chairman noted. It's not easy because you're talking about changing habits, about changing practice. You're talking about changing that bag, right, which has some information on it that is new to the consumers and the use and oversight. It's not easy. So it's been an amazing sort of journey. And then you think about just the world has changed in the last 66 years, right? Think about what we expect in terms of conveniences, how each of us view our lawns. Look at the home and lawn care industry and how it's grown and the beautification. There's a reason for that, right? It's both the pride and interest in having something nice, but also the enjoyment of being outside, right? To seeing these beautiful plants that we can put around our homes, to have a nice lawn. But it's also what has happened with the changes over the years in terms of the loss of agricultural land. And I got a wake-up call in the new census that came out several weeks ago, that just in 5 years, we have lost 200,000 acres of farmland in Pennsylvania, 4,000 less farmers. And the land is still here, it just has changed use. It has moved from a production agriculture to single-family housing and other businesses. But you still see lawns, you still see a lot of need for the care. This is the point, right, that the land is there and we're applying nutrients to it. And the truth is that the water bodies that we appreciate, local and distant, they don't know the difference between a molecule of nitrogen from the lawn with a molecule of nitrogen on a farm field. That's our challenge, right? So making sure that everybody recognizes their responsibilities under the water quality needs, but also under our nutrient management laws in Pennsylvania is important. So things have changed. So what we try to do through this journey of the last 12 plus years, right, is to modernize, make sure that we're now recognizing the collective contribution that each of us have on the impact to the environment, the collective responsibility that each of us has in terms of how we manage the nutrients that we apply, whether it's the farm field across the road or our front lawn. All of that is part of this conversation about modernizing the urban fertilizer law in Pennsylvania. But I'm proud of that. It's both a statement of value, it's a statement of responsibility, it's a recognition that as we have changed as a society, as the expectations for the pleasures of our outdoors and the environment have changed, and our laws in Pennsylvania to include fertilizer have changed. that we have not lost sight that this is something that we have to do, and we now have a structure and a program and accountability for it. Greg Robertson mentioned the lawn care industry, and I just want to say thank you. Part of this journey and the negotiations have been, and he alluded to this, some of the idiosyncrasies inside practices, inside law, inside topography, inside science, is also part of this conversation. And you know, the truth is that they've been challenging conversations at times, because there are folks who believe that in the agricultural community that the weight and burden has been placed on them to address the issues and meet the goals of the Chesapeake Bay and water quality. If you're in the lawn care industry, you feel like you're doing the right thing. So this was all part of the conversation that led us to this moment. But after all of that, we have a law that took a lot of compromise, but at its very core recognizes the responsibilities that Pennsylvania has and the expectations that we have on every citizen of Pennsylvania to do the right thing. Right? If you're buying this bag of fertilizer, to read the instructions and apply it appropriately. You do the testing of soil as required. Talk to the conservation district if you need any help. Make sure that we, as a government, are also doing our part for Chesapeake Bay. Right? All the states in this region have to do the right thing. I want to say thank you to the Chesapeake Bay Commission. Morrell is here with us, and she has been this... I was going to say quiet voice, but I don't know if that's always true. But encouraging us, really, and guiding us based on what other states have done with urban fertilizer. And the other thing that I like about this law is that we did it our way, right? Principles are uncompromised, but we did it our way. It wasn't for another state to sort of dictate the terms of how we do it. It was for us to figure out how to do it. And that is what brought us to this moment. I'm proud to stand here with this team. As Evan called this congregation, right, of folks who brought us together. And just want to thank the whole team for the work that they've done and the journey. There is work to do, but important, and just for each of us who buy these fertilizer bags, there's an instruction, application instructions, right? Read them. The heart of the bill is in that part of the bag, right? It's about the practice and application. So thank you all for being here, and to say thanks to the Cashmans for this gift of a local hardware and greenhouse in this community. And this is a gift. So thank you, Evan, and to Rick for that work. Thank you. Questions? Comments? Please. Yes. Good morning.
This is guidelines, correct? Are there penalties involved? Is there a stick to this?
Yes, there is a stick. Frank, you want to talk about sticks?
Sure.
There's a penalty structure. No, this is beyond guidelines, right? This is now sort of very clearly lays out an accountability structure. The accountability is both at the manufacturing point for meeting the standards, and by the way, for labeling requirements. That was a significant change. And one of the important things that became a negotiating point, because that bag may end up in 50 states, right? So the challenge was, what are the instructions that we have that meet our needs, at the same time, don't overcomplicate it for the manufacturer? There are application for professional community, right, about adhering to those recommendations. There is a threshold on nitrogen that was a major sticking point inside the negotiations that we felt like we needed, based on the science, to have a threshold that was different than other states, but a threshold. You can exceed the threshold only by soil analysis. If you can prove that you need more nitrogen, then you can do that. But there is a cap on the nitrogen. That's in law. All of this is law. So our task now is to really get folks at all levels to read, right, and adhere to that label. So thank you. Miss something, anything you want to add?
You covered it.
Okay, thank you. All right, any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you all. Congratulations again to the team that brought us to this moment and the Cashmans for hosting us today. Happy Easter to you. Thank you.